Some of you here are not becoming more like Christ because you are bound by a focus on the past, good or bad. But you must continually make the choice to forget what lies behind. Those thoughts come in your head? No. Press forward. You've got to make that choice. And if you don't, that's it.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, the church seems to be scattered these days. The focus seems to be all over the place. Would you agree?
Dave, I'd absolutely agree. It appears like churches are going from one extreme to another, from one ministry philosophy to another, whether it's a new book or a new way of doing church or whatever it is. Many churches are all over the place, and yet I find many rarely stop to see if what they are involved in or supporting is biblical or not. Today we're going to see the Apostle Paul will help us understand how we are to approach the Christian life and how we are to keep from being distracted by all the religious noise and distractions around us. Our text is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Every conversation, every personal interaction, everything you might be worried about or tempted to sin in that way. Every situation God is using to draw us to trust in Him and have a different mindset, to die to sin and to live to Christ. And when we fail, we confess and He forgives us. This is what God is doing through that. He's taking the bad and turning it good because He's conforming us to His image. Turn to Romans 8:28. We often read the first verse there. We never go to the next one. First verse is great, but it's connected. Romans 8:28, and you probably all know this, memorized it. When you were kids, you were taught and memorized these scriptures. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Called to be like Christ, by the way. For, explanation, verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become what? Conformed to the image of His Son. He predetermined that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. And Paul pressed forward towards that goal. Completeness in Christ, Christ-likeness, although he knew he wouldn't make it all the way until he was with Christ, as we're going to see. He wanted to focus on that which God laid hold of him for. Why did God save you? He saved you so that you could have a relationship with Him and become like His Son, Jesus Christ. And that gives Him glory. That gives Him great glory, by the way. You see, because Christ is the only one that pleases God, and when Christ is manifest in us, we please God by faith. Paul pressed towards that goal of completeness, Christ-likeness. He saw the goal, and he knew what he was doing and knew what God was doing in everything in his life. If God is using those things. That's why we are to count it joy, my brethren, when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance, remaining under, and endurance, its perfect result, that we would be complete and lacking in nothing. That's what he's doing. He pressed forward to that. And we need to renew our minds when things come our way, and we need to see them in light of this instead. If you're saved, Jesus Christ laid hold of you. But he laid hold of you to make him like himself, to conform you to his image. So you need to be pressing forward towards that. Let me ask you, do you press forward towards it? Do you press on? What do you press forward towards? Yes, we have the things he has us do in this life, but they should be in the context of pressing forward in righteousness, to be like Christ. How many churches would be changed if believers were taught what God is doing after He saved you? It changes your perspective in everything in your life. Everything. We saw in Ephesians that the goal was to the mature man or complete man, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, growing up. God has given us so many examples. Look at children. They have to grow up. Some of them don't, right? When a child doesn't grow up, it's kind of ugly, isn't it? When someone is an adult and acts like a child, it's kind of ugly, isn't it? We need to grow up. That's the goal. Become more like Christ. Are you pressing forward? If you thought this way, things would change, and we have to renew our minds because we're not there yet, right? We would be rejoicing rather than worrying, thanking rather than complaining, submitting rather than demanding, trusting rather than relying on self and others. So then, Paul pressed forward with a single purpose towards the goal, but he had a single focus also. Single focus. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 now. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. I haven't grasped that goal yet. I haven't laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he says, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Again, Paul is reckoning himself rightly. If you think you've gotten there yet, then you're dead and glorified. That's the only way that could happen, right? He says, I haven't made it yet. And there's great spiritual danger to thinking you have made it. Pride, folks. Believing you've reached a plateau spiritually while still in this life. We are to keep growing and keep growing and keep growing until we come to Christ in His presence. It's a continuing process that should increase during the course of our lives and will never be complete until we see Christ Jesus. And this is a warning to us. Godly man, the Apostle Paul, is saying, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. I'm not there yet. But we are to be making progressive steps towards that goal, as we're going to say. Let me ask you, how much spiritual accounting do you do? Do you look at your life in light of Scripture and evaluate it? We should be doing this, and we should be seeing progress in Christ. We should be sinning less in certain areas. God works on those. We should be confessing quicker. We shouldn't be holding on to things. We should be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but we're not there yet. We need to learn from Him. With that said, there's no room for complacency or staying where you're at or not maturing in Christ. Look at verse 13 again. But brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but contrast, one thing I do, or literally, one thing. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal. The one thing is pressing on towards the goal. But we're going to see there are two things that qualify it. Two things that could be a stumbling block if we don't do them. Two things that get in the way from us pressing on towards the goal. And if we don't do that, we're not going to be able to press on. Understand the grammar here. The one thing is pressing on towards the goal. But notice there are two distinct actions within this. First, forgetting what lies behind. Uh-oh. We get a certain perverse joy out of going over the things in our past. We do. Holding on to things. Holding on to issues. Holding on to situations. Having excuses for the future. Holding on. He says, forgetting what lies behind. And reaching forward to what lies ahead. You see, this is a race metaphor. You cannot win the race, let alone get the prize for winning the race, if you are looking back. You will never win a race looking backwards. You will never win it. You will lose. And if you are looking backwards, you are losing the race right now. If you're looking back at anything, and we'll talk about this in a minute, you are losing the race. Because your eye is not on the prize, your eye is not on the goal. This verse puts out of business much of so-called Christian counseling, much of it, that focuses completely on the past and never gets past that. Yes, you need to deal with sin and confess it, but you need to move forward, as we're going to say. So let me ask you this. If he says, I forget what lies behind, doesn't that contradict the fact you just explained the way you used to be a minute ago? I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Hebrew. I did all this stuff. This is my big list of stuff. Did he actually forget those things? What is he talking about? The verse speaks of a continual action, continually choosing to forget. Continually choosing to forget what lies behind. And what lies behind us? Certainly our sinful life before Christ. That lies behind us. We need to continually choose to forget about it. Otherwise, we will not be focused on the race. But yet we do remember what Jesus did. You see, the only way Paul looked back was to give God glory. Yes, I was this way, but I gained Christ. Praise the Lord, right? Was to give God glory. Forgetting what lies behind. Certainly we forget our past failures. Yes, our sins have been tossed as far as the east as the west. Satan wants you to dwell on it. He's the accuser of the brethren. But we, by faith, recognize if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We press forward. Yes, as we press forward, there may be consequences to our sin, but yet we see them in light of God making us like Christ and press forward to the goal. He says, forgetting what lies behind. That includes everything. If my focus is on things that have happened in my life in the past, I'm in trouble. Or things that have happened to me from other people, whatever it is, I'm not going to finish the race. Got to step forward. Doesn't mean those things didn't happen. Paul said, I was this, I was this, I was this. We'll see later on, the Apostle Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He didn't ignore that, but he said, the Lord will take care of that. I'm focusing this way. The Lord will take care of that. Some of you here are not becoming more like Christ because you are bound by a focus on the past, good or bad. But you must continually make the choice to forget what lies behind. Those thoughts come in your head? No. Press forward. You got to make that choice. And if you don't, confess it. Forget what has happened. Forget what lies behind, except to give God glory, thanks, or praise. And press forward towards the goal. If you're focused on what lies behind, not forgetting it, making the choice to ignore it, to forget it, and then deal with it in the context of going forward, pointing to Christ, right? Giving Him glory, praise, and honor, and thanks. You're not going to be able to finish the race. You're going to stay a baby Christian. You're going to stay like those children who grow up and they still act like children. And it's very obvious to everyone around them they are not mature and something's wrong. Don't do that. But one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what lies behind. But notice He doesn't just stop there. He says here, and reaching forward to what lies ahead. The terminology is one stretching across the finish line. You ever see sprints where they're running, and when they get to the end, they're stretching. They are so focused on winning, they are so focused on the goal, they are reaching out. And that's what He's saying here. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. Reach forward to Christ-likeness. Reach forward to the goal of becoming more like Christ. When things happen in your life, reach forward to be like Christ, to confess sin, to abide in Christ, to trust in Him. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead for us? Glory. Reach forward to it. Reach forward to it. Reach forward to why God grasped you. In every situation, don't look back, reach forward. You'd be set free from sin. Some of you are slaves to sin. Confess it, reach forward. And notice what He says back in our passage, verse 14, I press on towards the goal. I press on, press on, press on. Press on, brothers and sisters, towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. The goal literally means the mark, that point where the race ends, the finish line. The prize spoke of the award for victory in the games. In Christ, you can be victorious. And we're to press on. And He says here, toward the goal, the prize of something, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Some people are on the downward spiral to hell. We're on the upward call. We've been called out of sin to His glory. The upward call. The upward call. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory will Himself perfect, confirm, that's our word, strengthen and establish you. God called us to His eternal glory. This is the upward call, the consummation of our salvation, being with Christ forever, being glorified, being like Him face to face. The upward call of God, which comes through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. It is through faith in Christ Jesus that we are saved, that we are called to eternal glory. How many can say, I know the goal of my salvation, the goal of why Jesus saved me? How many of you are singularly focused, of us, are singularly focused on the goal of our salvation? How many of us press forward towards that goal, forgetting what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead? One pastor writes, what is the goal? What did we say the goal was? To be like what? Like Christ. What is the prize? To be made like Christ. That's why he says you bear down on the prize, which is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's going to happen when that upward call comes? You're going to be like what? Like Christ. The goal is the prize. The prize is the goal. So Paul says, look, the goal of my life is to be like Christ, and that's also the reward of my race. You say, you're going to reach that goal in this life? No, but it's still the goal. It's still the goal. But someday I will be like Christ. That's the prize that God gives the one who runs the race. The goal is to be like Christ, perfection in Christ. The prize is to be like Christ. Someday we will be like him. We shall see him as he is. That's the goal. He says, one thing I do, press on towards that. What one thing do you do? Yes, we do a lot of other things, but if we do one thing, those other things filter through that goal. They filter through that. I want to be like Christ in how I raise my kids. I want to be like Christ in my marriage. I want to be like Christ in my work. I want to be like Christ in the things he has called me to do. I fail. I'm not there yet, but I want to be like that. So I don't look back. I look forward. That's the goal, being like Christ in how I interact with you and you and you. The goal is how I am like Christ in what I do here and preaching the word. I want to be like Christ. That's the goal. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We are to be conformed to the image of his son. And God uses the difficulties in this life to do that. The fire, he heats up the life fire and makes it difficult. Difficult people, difficult situations, difficult circumstances to cause you to turn and trust him to Christ. Paul pressed on to this wonderful goal of Christ-likeness, the upward call. If we could only grasp this. One thing. And how is it we become more like Christ? We need to allow his word to change our hearts in humility. To allow him to change our thinking, change our responses, change our actions. To work out what he is working in with fear and trembling. Turn to Luke chapter 10. You see, we get all distracted on all kinds of things. There's really only one important thing, and it has to do with Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he, that's speaking of Jesus, entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's words seated at his feet. Notice that. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations and came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. One thing's necessary. You got worries and bothers? One thing's necessary. And notice what he says here. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set towards that goal in your life to be like him. Press forward, not looking back. Now that's the Apostle Paul's testimony. I do this, I do this, I do this. It's his testimony. But now at this point, as we finish, he exhorts us all to do the same thing. Look at verse 15 back in Philippians chapter 3. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. The term attitude speaks of mind. Have this mind that was in Christ. It's thinking. Think this way. As many of us, therefore, in light of what I just shared with you, let us have this. As many as are perfect. The word perfect doesn't mean perfection. It's the same word we saw earlier. It means maturity or completeness. As many of you who are mature, have this attitude. As many of you who are not baby babies, have this attitude. Have this attitude. Let us have this attitude. Let us have this attitude. Therefore, if you're mature, think this way. Be single-minded, press on to the goal alone. In every circumstance and application in life, forget what lies behind, press towards the goal. It's all about becoming like Christ. His word dwelling richly in us as he uses the circumstances when we trust him by faith to bring about his life in us. And then notice, he addresses believers that aren't mature. Baby believers, middle of verse 15. And if anything you have a different attitude or thinking, same word, God will reveal this also to you. If you're a baby, you're not mature, then God's going to reveal this as you get in the word. And guess what? God's revealing this today to you. If you have a different attitude, if you don't see this as the way why God saved you, God's going to reveal that to you. That's his plan. If you've got a different attitude, he will reveal it. The question is, will you respond when he reveals it? Because if you are mature in Christ, we should know this and we should move on and press forward. And by the way, we should be mature in Christ quite quickly as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then we have one warning at the end, verse 16. However, nevertheless, you could translate it that way, let us keep living by the same standard by which you attain. You think you're a baby Christian, you haven't figured it out yet? Don't backslide. You've attained a certain standard. The word standard there spoke of, it's from a Hebrew word, cane, which spoke of a cane or a ruler. A standard. Let us keep living our lives by the standard to which we have. The word attained means arrived or reached. You are growing in Christ. Stay there. Don't go back. Don't go back. Keep going this way. Keep going that way. No matter where you are at, keep growing in Christ. Keep going by that same standard by which you have attained. Don't slip back. So where do we go from here? When Christ laid hold of you, he laid hold of you that you would lay hold of him in his life, that you would become like him. Is this your focus? In every area of your life, it needs to be. When things happen to you, I want to be like you and how I respond here, Lord Jesus. I want to be like you. I want to trust you. I want to obey you. How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do? His word is clear and teaches us and instructs us. If you're not an infant in Christ, you need to think this way. And if you are a babe in Christ, he promises to reveal this to you. And it's being revealed to you today. So then we see the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He was initially self-focused, self-sufficient before Christ, but he saw all that as loss, and he actually lost it all, and he gained Christ in his righteousness. And at that point, what he wanted to do was to know Christ, to deeply know him, to be like him, to be conformed to his image. And he pressed towards that goal, the upward call, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward, reaching out to what lies ahead, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For some of you here, you're not believers. You don't have a relationship with Jesus, personal one, because you're still in your sins. He doesn't know you. You may think you know him. Confess your sin. He'll forgive you. And then we need to have the right goal of our salvation. We've seen it today. So then, in everything you do in your life, this needs to be our goal. Some of you need to do some confessing because you've been living in the past. You confess it. You're bringing it up. You're talking. Forget it. Forget what lies behind unless it brings God glory. Press forward to this upward call. Christ Jesus.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our closing moments today, how do I keep from going back to my old ways of thinking and acting once I've moved on from there?
You know, Dave, I wish I could give you a single-step cure-all plan to keep you on target, but the reality is that we are prone to wander. We are prone to be conformed to this world, but we need to be diligently renewing our minds with the Word of God. So here's a couple things I could recommend to help you stay on track. First of all, spend time in God's Word every day. You need to renew your mind with the truth of God. You see, it's so easy to be conformed back to the way that we used to think, and it's God's Word that renews our minds. Secondly, not only being in the Word, but memorize it. Get it into your heart. Study God's Word. Place yourself under good biblical teachers. Listen to sermons on the radio, whatever it might be. Be in the Word of God. Get the Word in your heart. If you'll do these two things consistently, regularly, you'll find that you are not drawn back to your old ways as easily as you were before. You'll find greater joy, peace, and victory over sin and temptation in Christ. Begin today and see what God does in you and through you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.